Are we standing on the promises this morning? I love that song. It says so much. Asks us a lot of questions, good questions to ponder over. And we've already been very well reminded and fed this morning. And I appreciated those thoughts, especially the thoughts in the opening of, in my own words, no pain, no gain. The offer that the devil gave to Jesus, just bow down and worship me and you can have all this. You don't have to go through all the pain to accomplish what you've been sent for. Just do as I say and it'll be fulfilled. And Christ walked through it so beautifully and gave us an example of how life is for us today. No pain, no gain. So, may we not be liars, but acknowledgers of truth. Thank you, Brother Marlon, for that. I'm going to start out this morning by asking a question to us. How many of us are here that don't have a mother? Anybody here without a mother? Good. I was afraid somebody tried to say they are. No. That's what I want to talk about this morning. This is the day we observe as Mother's Day, and so I want to honor that and talk about mothers, and not only mothers, but ladies, young girls. There's a purpose and a calling on everyone here this morning that is not a man, and so that would include young ladies, mothers, grandmothers, whoever is here this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about your purpose today. I wonder how many of you have heard the term, not, I'm just a mother. Have you ever heard that term? Or have you ever used it? Are you sitting here this morning feeling that way? As you are just a mother. I'm just a mother. I know I have heard that term different times when you ask somebody, well, what do you do or what's your occupation? Oh, I'm just a mother. Well, I think it's a good heart to have, but at the same time, I believe the calling that mothers or ladies have today is a high calling, and I want to try to do my best with God's help today to lift that up, lift that calling up today and help you ladies or mothers or wives or whoever you are here this morning to see that there is a purpose. There's a calling on your life, no matter what your slot is, where you're at today, there is a calling on your life. You are not just a mother. There was no hands that went up this morning when I asked that question, so the importance of mothers is obviously very high, the importance that mothers have in this life. I was thinking, well, we can go all the way back. Where did mothers start? Where did the idea of ladies start? We all know that ladies are created quite differently than men. And why is that? Where did it start? So in Genesis 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help me. That's where it started. Why don't we pray before we go further? Dear God, as I consider the subject today of mothers, Father, Lord, may you help me anoint my lips, Father. Fill me with your spirit, God, that I would not in any wise paint any different picture than what you have intended, God. Lord, you know each heart that is here this morning, Father, my prayer would be that you would take my few thoughts I have in these next fleeting moments, Father, and that you would bless them, God, and that you would bless each mother here this morning, bless each lady here this morning, young girl, Father, that they could be encouraged today, Lord, that they could see the purpose you have for them in this life today, Father, right where they're at. Lord, may you just help us today as we consider your word, that we would see your heart in your word, Father. Lord, just bless these next few moments, Father. Take these thoughts way further than what I can ever take them, Lord. You know my shortcomings. You know my weaknesses, Lord. I just want to commit them to you this morning. May you help me that none of those would come in the way of your message for the people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of the message this morning is Not Just Mothers. We want to look at a few points here this morning. The first point I want to look at is God's purpose for ladies. And I think we should probably go to the life of Mary, Jesus' mother, to find that this morning. The purpose for ladies. See, when God created man, he created everything else. He created the animals, he created fish, birds, everything. He created everything before he created the woman. Did you know that? Did you know that the garden was created, the trees, everything, paradise was created before the woman was created? And God looked at everything. He put Adam in the garden, and he told him to keep the garden, and he gave Adam responsibilities. It was after that that he said, I see that it's not good that man is alone. And us men can probably identify with that. I'm just guessing that maybe Adam went fishing, maybe Adam went hunting, maybe Adam went doing something, got carried away in nature while the garden was weeding up, and I guess there wasn't no weeds back then, but just get the picture with me this morning. There was something about Adam that was incomplete that God saw that. And then he said, let me make somebody to help him. So for us men this morning, even though this is a message for the ladies and the mothers today, can we glean a few things as we go through this that we are incomplete of ourselves? God saw that and said, let me help them out. Let me make them, give them a helpmate. This message was partly born out of a review I saw on a church website that bothered me. And so I started pondering on this. And that review said something like this: their ladies are suppressed. And first of all, I would like to suggest that I don't think it's in our place as Christians to leave such reviews on church websites. But then secondly, let's consider that. There was, what was it, a week ago, whoever had the message said something about we feel like we're not using or utilizing the power that God has given us to live a victorious, joyful life wherever we're at. Something, those are my own words. But as I pondered that review, I said, wonder what people think about us. And probably further than that, what does God see in us? What do our ladies look like when somebody walks in? Or when God looks down upon you this morning, are you sitting here suppressed? Are you sitting here feeling discouraged, overwhelmed? What are you feeling this morning as moms? This morning, that maybe you went to bed late last night, children crying, or got up to a fussing baby this morning, or maybe you were sick all week. What are you feeling this morning? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling suppressed? One thing I would like to say is that we live in a world that has got the role of a godly mother quite confused with a lot of other things, a lot of other interests, a lot of other ideas about what women should and should not be today. And I am not here to go into all that, but I would like to live high the standard today, the calling upon a lady, the calling upon a mother. Whether you are a mother here with a child, with children, or you're just a mother, here I said it myself, I'm just a mother. Whether you're here without children this morning, maybe you never had children, you are still called to a mother. If you're a wife or you're a young lady, you're called to motherhood, whether it's in a spiritual way or you have children that are running behind you this morning. So why don't we look at the life of Mary, Jesus' mother. when we think about God and his idea of why he created female in the garden, first of all, was for a helpmate. She wasn't just an extra person to tag along Adam to cook for him, clean for him, and make up his messes and remind him that the alarm clock has went off twice now, and I do need soap and different things when you go to town. She was created for those things, but not just for that. There was a higher calling. There was a reason God created male and female. So I would like to just instill that in your hearts this morning as mothers or ladies, that you were created by God for God. There's a reason you were created. And this morning, if you're feeling overwhelmed, maybe that's okay. Because the way you were created with a caring heart. There's none of us men here this morning that have a caring heart, and the emotions that the ladies do here this morning, no matter how hard we try, we cannot fulfill that calling. We cannot fill that spot. And that's why a lot of you are sitting here with somebody like that sitting beside you, because God created it that way. The ladies were created for a purpose, and you still have a purpose in life. In Luke 1:26, let me make sure I don't have my notes confused here. Yes, the birth of Jesus. Luke 1, let's just turn there, and we'll read a few verses here. What I want to point out here, my first point is you were created for a purpose. See, when God came to fulfill his plan on the earth, he didn't just come to a king. He didn't just come to some person in charge. Who did he come to? He came to a virtuous young woman and called her to something to fulfill. The saying can, sometimes you hear the saying maybe, when God wants to do something great, he will call a man. But if God wants to do something outstanding, he will call a woman. So if we are sitting here this morning feeling like important men, maybe I will try to help us take that down a little bit today. I'm not trying to minimize anybody here this morning, but what I want to do is lift up the purpose and the calling of young ladies, because you know, I have a wife, a beautiful wife, a mother of 8 children, and I know, and I get to see at least when I'm there, some of the burdens, some of the things that they go through that we men have no idea. Sometimes we think our jobs are hard, and they are, but sometimes we have no idea what our mothers, our wives, our ladies are going through, maybe even our young ladies in church. We have no idea unless we really care about them. So back to Luke 1, verse 26. And in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And I think the 6 months is talking about after Elizabeth had conceived with John the Baptist. Verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Did we catch that? There was twice here. I want to point out to you mothers this morning, or you ladies, the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. And then in verse 30, he said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And I believe it would be fitting for all of you ladies here this morning to just put your own name in there, where it says, Fear not, Katie, for thou hast found favor with God. Fear not, Susan, for thou hast found favor with God. I think it would be very fitting. God wasn't only talking to Mary there. See, he was at that point, he was talking to Mary because, did you catch where it said there, and she saw, she was troubled in his saying. How many times are you troubled when God calls you to something? How many times do you feel troubled because of your calling? And then the angel said unto her, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And that is how it is this morning with you all when you're struggling with something in life and things just don't make sense and maybe every baby is crying and you're overwhelmed, not feeling well. Fear not. I think that that should encourage you this morning that God notices every detail of your life. You're not just a tag along. You were created by God, for us, because we were incomplete. God saw that. It wasn't our idea. It wasn't my idea. It said, hey, God, I could use a lady. Could you provide a wife for me? It wasn't my idea. It was God's idea. He saw that. And he created the woman just as he saw fit. And what our incompleteness, God saw that, and he created you to fulfill that. And my question this morning is, how many times do you feel like just fulfilling that spot as a wife, as a mother, as a young girl in church or whatever it might be, is almost insufficient? You should be out doing greater things. You should be a teacher. Maybe you should be across the waters. Maybe you should be doing greater things. I would like to suggest this morning that the greatest thing you can do is fulfill the calling in which you have been called. And don't feel overwhelmed by that. Sometimes you will feel overwhelmed. Don't tear yourself down if you feel overwhelmed. I think sometimes the devil loves to create chaos with the responsibilities that God has called ladies or mothers to, or wives. God loves, or the devil loves to make chaos of that. And when they fail, like all of us fail, when a mother fails, just to sit there and drool over that, and maybe dream about things that they would love to do differently, or maybe they dream about this perfect mom, how they would love to be just this perfect mom. Or maybe you're looking up to some other mother in church, and I think those things are right things to do. But don't let the devil take you outside of what you have been called to. Whether it's just to serve as a single girl right now, or whether you're a wife without children, or whether you're a widow, whether you're a mother with 8 or 10 children, don't let the evil one confuse that. Don't let him discourage you in whatever you're called right now, where you're at. Ladies were created to minister. And I'm not talking about coming up here preaching. However, I think sometimes you could do quite a bit better at especially this message than what I can. You know, when I started studying on this message, I realized how much I didn't think about or appreciate my mother when I was growing up. And I started thinking back about what all she did for me. And you can start doing that as well this morning. Think back. What did your mother do for you? How many times did she stay up late at night crying and praying for you while you were out partying away your life or doing whatever? How many times did your mother pray and cry for you? How many times did she rock you in her arms when you were a little baby? All the things that she did for you, do we appreciate that? Do we remember the things that she did for us? Do we tell our mothers that we love them? Do we tell them that we appreciate them? I know that when I look over my life, I didn't. I didn't appreciate my mother enough. And I would like to take that, just share this morning that I do love my mother. And I can tell you that just a few weeks ago, I was in Mexico. And you all know how that went. And the last time we went down there, my wife couldn't go with me, and I was in tremendous pain when we went down there. And I was feeling awful discouraged, and I was under the weather. And my mother was there. My dad went to surgery, and me and Clara were able to spend our time in my parents' room because Dad wasn't there, but my mother was there. And I just remember what that did to me. During that time of pain and all the disappointments I was facing, I found such comfort in just being in the same room that my mother was in. And that is what a mother is created for. They have a special touch and a love in their heart that we all need. And may we thank God if we have mothers today. So maybe some of us don't have a loving, kind mother like others, but let's still praise God for our mothers. They care for us. Sometimes maybe it doesn't feel that way, but maybe sometimes can we think about how many times our mothers don't feel like we love them when they're praying and they're working hard to take care of us, and we just go on like we never noticed them. Do we love our mothers this morning? Do we appreciate them? See, they were created to minister. Back to that. Mark 15, it says, "Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him," talking about Jesus, "and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem." This is talking about the ladies that followed him. There's a few ladies, Mary and Mary Magdalene, and a few of them followed Jesus, and it says, "and ministered unto him." What did that look like? What did that look like when the ladies were ministering unto Jesus? Do you think they were running out ahead of him and preaching to him? No. I believe they were just walking with him, just being there. Sometimes when you walk into a room and people are heavy-hearted, just seeing a mother or a woman can do something to your heart. There was not one word said. Can do something to your heart that just kind of brings a calming effect. That's what ladies are. That's how ladies are created. And God created you that way. And I am so grateful that he did. A lot of times, us brothers, we can come together, we can sing together, we can pray together. But it's not the same as it is when we come to church or we come to a gathering and the ladies lift up their voices and sing. It does something to our hearts. And if it doesn't, it should. They ministered to Jesus. Are you ministering to those around you today? Whether you're a mother, a widow, or older single girls, young girls, are you ministering to those around you? I have been amazed, and I want to bless you young ladies, at just the way you serve. You look at young girls at home, they get up every day, and they serve. They wash dishes. They clean the floors. They go clean the church. They do this. They do that. And they can do it day after day. Sometimes they may get a little grumpy but grumble about their job. But I am still just want to bless you that I'm not that type of person to just repetitiously do something over and over and just be content in that. I'm sorry, but maybe there's something wrong with me, but I'm just not that way. And when I see young girls doing that, or mothers, just in their everyday routine, I'm blessed by that. And I appreciate it so much that God created people for that and to fill that role when I'm out running to and fro. At the cross, when you think about a mother's heart, at the cross, who was there at the last minute when Jesus died? Maybe we'll read that here. In John 19, and I want us to think about what you were created for, ladies, mothers. I want you to think about this. In John 19, verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he says unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then says he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. I'm guessing that disciple was obviously one of Jesus' disciples. And then in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says, I thirst. Did we catch that? Who was there? Jesus, that young virgin that Gabriel had called years before, was still there, still cared about Jesus at the very end, just when he was dying. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he says unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. There was still, Jesus acknowledged his mother. And I know you can tell that Jesus had an appreciation for what Mary done for him throughout his life. Mary was there, Jesus' mother was there when his first miracle, when he performed his first miracle. In fact, it was kind of Mama that pushed him into the miracle, if you will. He said, My time is not yet here. But then Mary went on to say that just do whatever Jesus says. And you could say that she encouraged Jesus on in his journey. She was there for him. She walked with him. And that's what mothers do today. Sometimes young girls or young boys or us young children, I can say, sometimes we think our mothers are just a little bit outdated. They don't know everything. I have a little saying here for us to think about. It says at age 4, you might think mom can do everything. And at age 12, you are already saying mom doesn't know everything. At age 14, you might think mom doesn't know anything. And at age 18, you might think mom is so out of touch with the times, she's so backwards, outdated. Maybe you know about that. At age 25, you are thinking, well, mom knows a few things. And by the age 35, you are thinking, before we decide, let's go, mom, get mom's opinion. And then by age 45, I'm thinking, I wonder what mom would do. And at age 65, you are thinking, I wish I could talk to my mother one more time. And she's gone. There's just a little saying, but I think it holds so true about the progression of our time. And as I can remember, I'm at age 35 almost. And I would say that that is pretty spot on, the way we can think and the way I think as I was growing up, still trying to grow up. A mother's calling. We looked at the purpose for ladies and for mothers. And the role of mothers, why don't we look at the role of mothers a little bit? I would like to get it settled in our hearts this morning that just being a mother is sufficient. That's enough. That's what God called you to. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. See if we can glean a little something from the words of King Lemuel's mother. There's some assumption that that mother could have possibly been Bathsheba. And if that was the case and you read this proverb, it gives you a little bit different picture about the proverb, or it did me, because Bathsheba had quite an experience about what a virtuous woman is and a wife, what a good wife should be. And so as we look at the role of mothers, let's go through some of this. I'm going to start in Proverbs 31, verse 10, from verse 10 through 12, is talking about a godly wife. And I believe that's one of the callings of a young lady, is to be a godly wife. If you get married, you're called to be a godly wife. And so that's one of the things that God created. In verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Question for us men this morning, is that the case? Do we safely trust her? It's something I can ask, can you give her your credit card and send her off shopping and trust her? Does she feel that from you? Or does she feel like you're just barely trust her and please don't spend too much? I'm not saying that sometimes maybe that we can say that or maybe we should say that. But do they know, do our wives, our mothers, our sisters, do they know that we trust them? Or are we always kind of nagging and selfishly going about life and they just make them feel like they're just tag-alongs, they're just extra, they're just here because God put them here. Well, that's the case, but God put them here for a purpose and a reason, and that's what we're trying to establish here this morning. I'm going to read now from 13 through 25, and just brings out the role of a mother. And you shouldn't feel guilty or condemned when it feels like day after day, week after week, just the only thing you can do is just work, work, work. I believe you should have time for the Lord. You should have time for prayer. You should have time for joys and tears and whatever goes along with motherhood that sometimes we don't understand. You should have time for that. But don't feel condemned if your life is busy and you have a lot going on. And don't let the evil one condemn you for that, because you were created. God created you that way, and that is part of your responsibility. 13, she seeks wool and flax. And I'm reading in the New King James in case you can't follow along exactly. And willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. I would like to stop there and point out a few things. I guess she brings her food from afar. It's okay for you to go shopping every once in a while, I believe. You don't have to feel like you need to grow everything. I'm not saying that that's exactly what he's saying here, but it does give the picture that she goes and she gets stuff and brings it. Whatever we need to do to provide for our families. And then in verse 17, she girds herself with strength. It doesn't say that she has strength. It says she girds herself. It gives me the picture that she chooses. And I think that's what you ladies or mothers do constantly, is you choose to gird yourself with strength. Sometimes you'll get up in the morning, many a times you get up in the morning and you don't feel like starting another day. It doesn't feel like the night even began. And here you are faced with 6 o'clock in the morning and you need to make breakfast and pack the buckets or whatever you need to do. But she girds herself with strength. She decides, she chooses to go on. And sometimes I'm amazed at the strengths that they decide to gird themselves with. It's strengths that I think we would probably make an excuse and go back to bed. Us men would do that. 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is close with scarlet. She provides. She takes care of her family. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for her merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Did you notice that strength and honor are her clothing? Her beauty is not once mentioned here. And I believe sometimes the evil one can try to, the devil will try to make chaos with ladies. There's also fears and things that they face that the enemy uses because they were created to have compassion, have love, care about other people, care about things, care about the little babies when they cry. Because they were created that way, there's also a flip side to that, and there's fears that come with that. And the enemy sees that, and he tries to make chaos. I have a little bit of a writing here. I think I'm going to run out of time, so I'm going to have to somehow sort through some of this a little bit. I'm going to read this just to give us an idea that some of the things that ladies and we feel, or things that you feel or struggle with, and maybe it'll help us to see that some of these things are just fears. They're not reality. So the first one is a critical caregiver. This mom has an overly critical spirit. No one in her home is measuring up, and she believes the only answer is a good dose of nagging words. Her way is the right way, and others couldn't possibly know how to do it well. There isn't time or space for her children or her husband to offer suggestions or even share their perspective. Keeping control is a large priority to her. She feels exhausted, but largely in part because her expectations are massively high, and in turn, so are her disappointments. And what I would like to point out there is, like it said there, her expectations are massively high. Remember when I talked about not dreaming about things that are outside reality, not dreaming about things that are too high for you to achieve, not looking to some other mother that can always keep everything in line, and I'm never in line. Don't dwell on those things, because some of those things are just real. Some mothers have gifts that others don't, and don't tear yourself down for that. Just accept the way God made you. I'm not saying that I believe you should learn from each other, but don't try to compete with each other. Be there for each other. Help each other. Share with each other. Because if we don't do that, if we just leave each one for themselves, and man, we need to pray for them because they're really struggling. We don't never go and talk to them and identify with them and maybe cry with them, pray with them, laugh with them. We leave ladies and mothers guessing and trying to raise the expectations, they raise the bar to try to measure up with others, and just like it says, the disappointments are just that high because they can't achieve it. Bless each other. Bless each other as mothers, and share tips with each other. Be there for each other. The worn down one, diva, I don't know what that means, but it says a worn down diva. Maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong. This mom is overextended and overscheduled. Her children are involved in far too many things, but she would hate to say no to something that they really love. She says yes to commitments because she is so flattered to be asked, and she is a high capacity person. So why not? She is driven by her calendar and sees blank space as an opportunity to say yes to more things. Rest is overrated. She stays up too late, rises too early, or both. Even when she finds a quiet moment in her day, her head is full and spinning, and therefore struggles to find peace. I wonder if anyone in here can identify with that. If you ladies can, I can. There's a lot of that one that's real for me. And yeah, God help us. The measure up mama. This mom is in continual state of comparison. Internally, she is always wondering what others are thinking, and externally, she is driven to accomplish things that will please others. She feels great disappointment if her children are burned out with lunchbox items or her husband is frustrated with the upkeep of the house. She doesn't want life to spin out of her control or for others to think that she might need help. Her heart struggles to celebrate other moms because she silently believes their success equals her failure. One more, and then I'll let off of that. The pitiful parent. This mom plays the victim card over and over. Everything is always an uphill battle. She believes she climbs in isolation. Many people struggle to spend time with her because she is an expert blame shifter. She finds others as at fault or has a mighty good excuse for her shortcomings and the shortcomings of her children. She is unknowingly grumpy and feels shortchanged in life. She's living. Gratitude is hard to come by, and she wishes things were different. I believe if we would ask the ladies to share, if any one of these has anything to do with your life, or if you can identify with any of these, I think there'd probably be every one of you that can identify with at least part of this. And I think it's so true. A lot of us have these types of struggles or emotions that we deal with. And again, I would like to suggest that don't just accept that as a norm, maybe, but also don't condemn yourself. These are things that we deal with. We're real people, and we face real battles and challenges. Us men face battles, you ladies are allowed to as well. Don't bang yourself up if you can identify with some of these things. Now, I'm not saying that just, you know, be content in it, but don't bang yourself up. You're real people, and you have real struggles. It was, who was it that said that? I think I'm gonna have to leave it. I can't quote it. Anyways, Proverbs 31:30 says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised." 11:22, "As a jewel of gold in its wine snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." That doesn't sound too nice, but as a jewel of gold in its wine snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion or whatever you want to say there. Or 1 Peter 3, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." I just wanted to point that out after reading that list of things that we struggle with, is these are the types of things that we should dwell on. We shouldn't be looking for favor with other people. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. How can you fear the Lord this morning? How can you be, how can you see yourself as someone God created with a purpose, for a purpose, for Him, for whoever you're sitting beside or might sit beside someday, without feeling like you have to do something outwardly to impress somebody? Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So if we are a God-fearing lady this morning, that's probably why we're here. I want to bless you for that. And don't let the devil tear you down. Don't let him take you down with all the realities of life and the hardships that you face as a mother or as a sister or whoever you are here this morning. I had one of my daughters come up with a list of some of the things that a mother does that a lot of times we tend to miss and that go unnoticed. And I will read part of this list to you. Cooking, gardening, cleaning, washing dishes, washing clothes, bathing children, teaching, changing diapers, settling disputes, putting children to bed, sewing, and etc. The list goes on and on. I was gonna take time and put on the board some of the things that you can think of that ladies do or mothers do that sometimes we have a tendency to not notice. We notice like all the big things, right? When they have another baby that they bring to church, or when they do something great, we tend to not miss that as easy. But it's the little things at home when nobody else notices, that the corners that they fill, the places they serve, that we want to notice this morning and bless you ladies for, and you mothers, that you may continue to feel God's calling and hand in your life, on your life today. Child training is probably one of the ones that especially we right now, and quite a few of us here, battle with. And sometimes, maybe a lot of times I should say, we can feel like failures in that. I know we do. And I would like to say that there was Charles Spurgeon said something that caught my eye. He said, a mother who trains her children aright had need to be wiser than Solomon, for his son turned out a fool. We get that. A mother who trains her children aright had need to be wiser than Solomon, for his son turned out a fool. So we get the picture that it's not by having everything together. It's not by walking a perfect line. It's not by being the wisest person. It's not by being the best mother. But when we rely on God, when we ask Him, we see our weaknesses, and we accept who we are, and we accept our weaknesses, and just see that we need God's help. We need the wisdom from God to help us. That's when God can have His way in our lives. And that's the only way we can raise a children or a family for God, is if we rely on His strength to help us. I think I covered that I just can't maybe stress enough to you ladies, even in the busyness of your life, how much it can mean when you go, maybe to you single girls, or you mothers or wives that do not have children, when you go and you visit the ones, be there for the ones, care for the ones that are going through a time maybe with a lot of responsibilities. And those mothers get weary at times. And it just means a lot when you can just go and be there for each other. Visit each other, bless each other. Maybe just, I don't even want to say text each other, because that just doesn't have the touch. Even when you can pick up the phone and make a phone call and just bless somebody for what they're doing. Doesn't have to be an hour conversation, because a lot of times you don't have that much time. At least you think so. But be there for each other. Mary, when she was shortly after she had conceived, it says she went up into the hill country to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Why did she do that? Why did she run up there? Maybe she was excited, but I think it was just a care. See, she cared. Mary, as a young virgin, taking that responsibility and calling on her, you might think, well, yeah, but she was called to be a mother of Jesus. God was with her. Well, He's with you as well. He's with me and you through whatever He has called us to. But do you understand, or do we understand how much that Mary went through by having and being the mother of Jesus? All the things she got blamed for, and I don't have time to go into all of them, but just think to yourself, okay, she was a virtuous woman, not married yet, and all of a sudden she was supposed to have a child. Do you think that everybody just understood? Yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, she was, Gabriel visited her, and that's why this all. No, I'm sure it's not. Even Joseph, even her to be spouse, almost left her. And there's no wonder that she was troubled by this calling when God called her to this. And whatever you're facing this morning, you might be troubled with something in front of you. But just know that if God has called you to it, He will walk you through it. He will go with you. He will take you through it. I think I will close with a poem that I so love, that one of our daughters gave their mother this morning. And by the way, I hope you at least noticed today that it was Mother's Day, and told your wife that you love her, and the children, children told their mother that they love them. And So the poem here says, "Dear Mom, you do so much for me. Great things, though small they seem to be, you often sing throughout your day and notice things along the way. Sometimes it's rainbows after rain, or pets or flowers by the lane. You take the time for every child with listening ears and voices that smile. I wish you blessings from above and happy Mother's Day with love." May that be our heart for our mothers this morning. Maybe we do have a mother that didn't always treat us right. I'm sure that all of us can think back over our childhood or our years with mother, and we can think of times when maybe she wasn't so pleasant, maybe she failed. I know I can. But those are not the things that I remember when I think about my mom. The things that I remember are the times when she was there for me. There was times when maybe other people were mocking you, or maybe other people were, you know, left you somewhere. Maybe you were sick, not feeling well. Everybody ran out and left you there. Your mother was always there for you. And those are the things that we think about this morning, or at least I do when I think about my mother. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Bless your mothers. Tell them that you love them and appreciate what they do for you. God bless you.